Good evening. Good evening, church. How are you guys? Oh my. Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, it's some respond right here. Okay. Have you ever felt that nagging sense of more? Like, you know, that's constant whisper telling you, if you just have this, then you will be content. Buy this, achieve this, become this person, and you will finally be complete and happy. Maybe for you, like that, this is a career milestone, right? A bigger house, or for most of you, maybe the latest techno gadget. I know this feeling because, you know, I've been chasing for many years. For years, I've been caught. I was caught in the same trap. Promotion, financial stabilities, the approval of others, and there are lots of things I really, really want. I remember for a long time, I have been dreaming of a BMW convertible. You know, I did not say it out loud, but it was not just about a car. It was more likely a status code. You know, a good car equals to success. And I envision myself driving down the road. Heads are turning. Turning heads. And I like that feeling because I really want to get that attention. That's what I really want. That's why I want a BMW convertible. So one day, I finally got my hands on a BMW. Well, not a convertible that time per se, but still is a significant purchase to me at that time. I was very excited, very proud. But then you knew it. The excitement did not last. So you know what happened next? I start dreaming about a Porsche 911. So that I believe, I'm convinced that the Porsche would finally satisfy me. Perhaps you are not, perhaps cars are not your thing. It's something else. It could be a perfect relationship. It could be a financial stabilities or a positions of influence, or even something as simple as social media likes or subscription, for example. But whatever it is, we all get caught in the same chase. And here's the kicker. That wanting more feelings, it just does not stop. We see it in our kids, too. My own daughter, even now, as she's getting older, her tastes evolve from like Winnie the Pooh to become Mr. Beast, you know, it's completely different. And still asking me, okay, hey, just one more episode, please, Papa, one more episode. So, and you know it, after that one more of episode, the requests will still keep coming and coming. It's a human condition that these unsatisfiable desire will not magically disappear as we grow up. So, but before we go on, I want to be clear. Desire itself is not the problem. God created us with desires. We are meant to want more good things to create and to enjoy. However, when those desires become unchecked and took over us, we become reckless and constantly unsatisfied, and that's where the real problem is. So today, as we explore God's word, as we dive into the biblical teaching that reveals the danger of unchecked desires, and you will see how easily that can drag us away from God. So let me take you all back to the ancient Israel, to the time when King Ahab ruled in Jezreel. Ahab was not just any king. He was the king of Israel, chosen by God to lead his people and to guide them in justice and righteousness. So one day, so as Ahab walked near his palace, his attention was drawn to Naboth's vineyard. So he got very excited. He thought to himself, hey, what a fine spot for a garden. So driven by this sudden desire, Ahab approached Naboth with an offer. Hey, give me your vineyard that I may have a garden in it. I will give you a better vineyard, or if you like, I can give you the money in exchange. So from Ahab's perspective, this seems like a win-win situation. He was offering fair compensation, either a better vineyard or good money in exchange. However, Naboth's reply was firm, no. The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. For Naboth, the vineyard was not just a piece of land. In ancient Israel, the land was not just a property. It was a sacred inheritance passed down through generations and was meant to remain with his family. And in fact, the land is actually a strong tie to God's promise and provisions. And the scripture explicitly states, the land shall not be sold, for the land is mine. So Ahab, the king, however, was not pleased, was not prepared for this answer because, you know, he won yes, but he got a no. So instead of accepting Naboth's decisions and legal rights, Ahab returned to his palace in bitterness and so frustrated to the point that, look, he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. So imagine you are the king of Israel, crying in the bed, refusing food just because he couldn't get what he wants. Sorry, I'm laughing, sorry. So then his wife, Jezebel, noticed her husband's behavior and she approached him saying, hey, what's going on? And then Ahab told her what happened. So seeing her husband's distress, so Jezebel really act up and stand up and told Ahab, hey, arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard. So with that promise in mind, Jezebel set in motion a dark and evil plan to help Ahab to get what he wants. So what happened next? Jezebel wrote letters in Ahab's name and sending them to the elders and leaders of the city, instructing them to proclaim a fast and to bring out Naboth and set him at the head of the people and appointing two worthless men to oppose him. So with forced witness gather, a twisted legal process in place, and these elders brought forward some forced accusations against Naboth and falsely accusing him that he has cursed God and the king. And from these baseless testimonies, the people of the city condemned Naboth, and without a fair trial or just evidence, Naboth was taken outside and stoned to death. And the scripture says, that's important, as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, and he arose and go down to a vineyard and take possession. What a king! An innocent man lost his life just like that, just because the king was determined to have his vineyard as his garden. A true story, but that is ridiculous. So this story, on the surface, is about a piece of land. It's about a king. It's about a person who refused to sell. But beneath the surface is a lesson that the destructive power of unchecked desire. So as we explore the scriptures, we're going to unpack four important observations from this passage that reveals how unchecked desires can in subtle yet very powerful ways to drag us away from what we truly matters and how this ancient story speak directly to us today. So the first observation, twisting the truth, selective presentation, you know. Yes, a person died in the story. But Ahab's downfall began with deceptions, not violence. So when his desire for the vineyard took root, honesty, integrity, that which are the qualities expected from a divine appointed king were completely absent. So instead, Ahab subtly twisted truth to justify his selfish pursuit. Let me explain. Consider Ahab's offer, give me your vineyard for money, or else I'll give you another vineyard for it. And we all know it by now, Naboth saying no to the offer. However, he refused to sell was rooted in his obedience to God, and it was never about the business transaction. The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. However, when Ahab later discussed the matter with his wife Jezebel, he conveniently left out this critical part of his response. Notice the difference. Naboth was not saying no out of personal stubbornness or provoke a fight with the king. He was just faithfully upholding God's law. But Ahab painted pictures of Naboth as simply uncooperative with the king. So why does Ahab do this? By twisting the truth, or by twisting the narrative, Ahab subtly manipulates Jezebel so that he could avoid confronting the real issue here, and that is Naboth's faithfulness to God. So instead, he framed it as a simple obstacle and implicitly inviting Jezebel to handle the situation for him and to remove this inconvenient problem for him. And you see, this act of twisting the narrative show us how easily we can manipulate facts to serve our own agendas. So, you know, even when we are not kings, we make decisions every day. And like Ahab, we may subtly twist things around. Let's be honest, right? We all do this to some certain extents. Justifying questionable choices, emphasizing the benefits while minimizing the impact of the compromises. This is what we do all the time. How often are we tempted to spin the story just to make our desire seem justifiable? Just as Ahab twists the truth for a vineyard, we too can bend reality to serve our desires and compromising our integrities in the process. And let me tell you, these subtle dishonesties are dangerous early signs of unchecked desire taking root in our hearts. So church, we really have to watch out for that. Observation number two, negligence. Ahab's failure was not just about his longing for the land. It was also his negligence of his divine calling. As the king of Israel, Ahab was not just a ruler with power. He was chosen by God to serve as a protector, a steward of divine justice, and a leader who cared for his people. His identity was defined by a sacred duty. This is a calling to safeguard the weak, to uphold God's law, and to be a living example of righteousness. And this calling, remember, this calling was not optional. It was holy and foundational to his role as king. But the problem is, Ahab let his desire for a garden overshadow this sacred calling as a king. You can see in his relentlessly pursuit of the vineyard, he allowed his personal pleasures to override his responsibilities. Rather than protecting his people, upholding justice, Ahab chose to sacrifice his calling for a piece of land. And that is reckless. Willfully negligence of one's identity and calling, and Ahab is doing exactly just like that. Think about it. Think about it. What about our own identities and callings? Do you have one? We may not be kings or queens, but each of us has been entrusted with responsibilities, roles, relationships as parents, employers, employees, students, friends, and the followers of Christ. We have identities and callings that define who we are meant to be. But are we like Ahab? Are we like Ahab allowing these unchecked desires to overshadow these callings? So church, remember, our true identity is not in possessions or achievements, but in how faithfully we live in our calling, how diligently we serve, and how deeply we embody the values that God has entrusted to us. You know, Ahab's recklessly abandonment of his kingly identity really triggered a huge warning sign for all of us that we too can knick-knack God's given roles and responsibilities when our desires take control. Church, we must guard against this unchecked desires that may be in us. One of the most important observations, number three, is really, I really want you guys to pay attention. If you're sleeping right now, just get up. That's a really important one. Seduction of just benefiting. So after Jezebel's evil plan resulted in Naboth's death, you notice one thing. Ahab acted as though he was innocent, as if he was not really involved in what had just happened, and smoothly take over the possessions without any hesitation. He likely rationalized his whole actions, thinking, hey, I'm just benefiting from what Jezebel did. So you can imagine what's going on in his mind. I was not the one who planned the action. I personally did not involve or do anything. I did not order the stoning. I am just taking advantage of an opportunity. Opportunity. You know, this just benefiting mentality is dangerously deceptive, allowing us to distance ourselves from wrongdoing, feeling less guilty. But the scripture is really clear. God sees our hearts, not just actions. Ahab tried to sidestep accountability and attempt to avoid consequences of his action. However, God did not work that way. So God confronted Ahab through Elijah. Have you killed and also taken possessions? You have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. God held Ahab fully accountable, not just for Jezebel's actions, but also for his own action, for his willingness to benefit from injustice and his failure to stop evil when he had the power to do so. We live in a society where system and structures often enables injustice. It's so easy to convince ourselves, I'm just participating in the system. I'm not directly causing any harm at all. I'm just getting the benefit. But let me ask you, are we? Are we truly innocent if we benefit from the system that exploits others or practice that compromise our values? Whether it's a passively consuming products made in unethical conditions or ignoring injustice in our communities or remaining silent in the face of wrongdoing. The just benefiting mindset can subtly corrupt our being as a follower of Christ. I'm telling you, we are accountable for passive allowance of sins, especially when we can or should intervene. Church, standing by the sideline while injustice occurs is not an option for Christ's followers. Let me repeat one more time. Standing by the sideline while injustice occurs is not an option for Christ's followers. Remember, we are called to act out righteousness, not passively receive benefit from sin. And even when it is uncomfortable or inconvenient, we still have to remember this. Last but not least, observation number 4, the high cost of compromise. Think about it again. Naboth's death was the result from a king compromising his integrities, giving up his calling, and failing to uphold God's law. The vineyard was far more than a piece of land. It was a symbol of a sacred inheritance or a legacy of God's provision. But by taking it through what? Deception and murder. Ahab not only violated Naboth's right, but also God's command, and he truly undermines the very foundation of his kingship. So when Prophet Elijah confronted Ahab, God's judgment was severe. Have you killed and also take possessions? In the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dog lick your own blood. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up. You know, the divine judgment were very serious stuff, and they were directly linked up to Ahab's reckless choices. Think about it. A king's duty is to protect and serve the people, his people. But instead, Ahab's unchecked desire that invited him to compromise turned him into the agent of agent of injustice and destruction. Every compromise we make, no matter how small it seems, has far-reaching consequence. Like Ahab, we may initially believe that we can control the consequence, right? That we can just benefit without paying a price. But let me tell you one important thing. Sin has a way of escalating, taking us way further than we ever intended to go. Sin has a way of escalating, taking us a way further than we ever intended to go. The unseemingly small compromise we make today can make the way for bigger corruptions of our faith and our calling tomorrow. So church, keep that in mind. And as we come to the close of our message, let's reflect one more time our lessons we learned from the story. We have seen how twisting the truth, neglecting our calling, passive benefiting from sin, and making compromises will all come from the same root cause. That is the unchecked desire, which lead to ruin. But the good news is, there's a glimpse of hope even in such darkness. Ahab's story does not end in destruction. In fact, it shows the power of repentance. When Elijah delivered God's judgment to Ahab, instead of making excuses or denying of his action, he humbled himself and turned back to God. A king, humbled, admitted his wrongdoing before God, and that's what he wants, and that's what the Lord wants. Well, the repentance did not undo all consequences. God acknowledged the repentance and delayed the judgment. So no matter how deeply we have fallen into the trap of unchecked desire, repentance offers a path to restoration. I just want to end tonight's message with a story from Luke 15. Here there was a young man consumed by his desire for worldly pleasures, who recklessly squanders everything he had in self-indulgence living. You know, he chased after his own pleasures only to find himself in utter ruin, hitting rock bottom and realizing his foolishness. But in his desperation, he made the brave decisions to return home. He's not demanding his former status or expecting to be welcome, but simply hoping that for a chance to start over again as a servant. He understands he has been reckless, neglecting his identity as a father's son. But the surprising thing is, when the father see this young man coming home, the father ran to him, embraced him, and celebrate his return with overwhelming joy, proclaiming, "For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found." And this is God's mercy. Like the Father, God welcomes us back home, no matter how far we have wandered in reckless desires. His mercy restores, heals, and reclaims our true identity. Church, are you ready? Are you ready to come home? Are you ready to surrender to your unchecked desires and step onto the path of restorations? The Father is waiting, arms open. He's waiting for you. So let's all stand and pray. So, dear Father, we confess that we have at times twisted the truth, neglected our calling, and chosen personal gain over your righteousness, Lord. Please forgive us. We confess that when we have let these unchecked desires rule over our lives, we really ask for your forgiveness now, O God. Help us. Fill us with your grace and mercy. And as we stand together as your people, help us to embrace our identity as Christ's followers. Empower us to hold fast to your word and to encourage one another on this journey of restorations. Lord, let your spirit renew our minds and transform our desires so that we may pursue what is eternal rather than what is temporary. So, Father, please, we thank you for the hope of restoration. Even when we wander far, your mercy is always there to welcome us. Lord, stir our hearts to respond to your calling, and may we leave here renewed and determined to live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.